The Israelites left Egypt partly because of religious persecution and headed for the promised land. The journey for the Israelites to become a nation was not easy for them. But if they followed the Lord, He promised to be with them and to bless them. Europeans left their continent partly because of religious persecution, and they headed for what they called the Promised Land, where you and I live today. They struggled with starting a new nation, but they learned from the very passages that the Lord gave to Israel on what is acceptable and what is not acceptable as a nation before God. And when they followed what He said was acceptable, He blessed them mightily. And here we are, a nation that practically every American says is one of the greatest nations ever to grace this earth. We today enjoy the fruits of their sacrifices and labor. We, though, are having some rough times in our nation today. But even so, most of the world still wants to be us. If Americans should read the book of Ecclesiastes during good times, as I mentioned briefly last Lord's Day, then Americans should read the book of Deuteronomy during hard times. If you cannot read the whole book of Deuteronomy this week, please read chapters 11 and 8. And if you can't read both of those chapters, read chapter 8. In fact, we're going to read the whole chapter this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 8. It's the text for my message today. In Deuteronomy 8, verses 1 through 5, America needs to know how she lives, even as Israel needed to know how she lived. Here is what Moses said toward the end of the wilderness wanderings, toward the end of his life, just before he dies. That's what the book of Deuteronomy is, his last message to Israel. And here's what he said, starting in chapter 8. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. So He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. The opening sentence there in verse 1 really, I believe, set the tone for the rest of the chapter. Do what the Lord says, Israel. Then you shall live and multiply and go in and possess the land which he promised to give to your fathers. It's just that simple. And really, he's going to work on that whole idea throughout the rest of this chapter. Israel had to remember the Lord because he was the one who led them those 4 decades in the wilderness. During that time, Moses also said that God humbled and tested them. Why would God do that? Well, he wanted to know what was in their hearts. Specifically, whether they would keep his commandments. In turn, he also humbled them that they might learn something about themselves. That man does not live by bread alone. And the way he did that is he caused them to suffer hunger and fed them with manna from above. That way they were seeing it's just not by what we provide for ourselves with our hands, but it is what God gives us. At the same time, the Lord balanced their suffering with blessings. He allowed them to hunger, not starve to death. Yet their clothes did not wear out. Nor did their feet swell those 40 years. Wow. At the end of 40 years, they could be wearing the same clothes and they would look in the same condition as 40 years earlier? That'd be like the clothes you bought in what, 1969? Am I doing my numbers right there? And you're still wearing them and they look brand new. Those times would show the intent of their hearts. Would they obey him even when they did not have endless blessings? Satan said something, and it's recorded in Job chapter 1. That was not true about Job, but it is true about some people. Listen to Job 1, and I'm going to start at verse 8. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land." In other words, of course God, Job, fears you. But Satan continued, "But now, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And of course, as you may know, the Lord allowed that to happen, and Job would not curse God. But what about Israel? Would Israel obey the Lord although suffering hunger? Would Israel obey the Lord when the opposite happened? When the Lord rained down from heaven bread? Making it just literally that easy for them? You know, some people, as you probably know, are faithful during one time and not another. Some people can be faithful during hard times, but when the good times roll, forget about the Lord. Other people, just the opposite. During the good times, they're very faithful to God, but take those things away, and they're not faithful to Him anymore. How would Israel be? They had to demonstrate it to the Lord. But either way, Israel had to learn that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What does the Lord have to do to us or allow to happen to us, that America might learn that she does not live by bread alone, or by money alone, or by retirement funds alone, or by trees alone, or you just add to the list. What do we think is the most important thing in life? What do we believe that, you know, we have to have this thing and then my life will be right? Financial security? Health insurance? The scriptures? How would we answer such a question? Well, Israel had to know those things for themselves, and we perhaps need to know those things for ourselves. Israel also needed to know that the Lord chastised them like a father does his son. You see, during those hard times, Israel may have thought, well, God doesn't care for us. And Moses said, no, that's not the case at all. When a father chastises his son, it is not because he does not care for his son. In fact, it's love for his son that moves him to chastise him. And Yahweh, Jehovah God, was the father of Israel. And so he would correct them when they needed it. As it happened to Israel then, so it happens to all nations now. America, we need to know that we live by the bread that the Lord provides for the body and by the bread that the Lord provides for the soul. In fact, I think he would say even more so on the latter. America, we need to know further that God will do whatever is necessary to get us to learn these things. And if it means making us suffer nationally, he will do it. Because he loves us. Well, Moses continued in Deuteronomy 8, verses 6 through 10. Where America needs to know how she acquired her good land. Just as Israel needed to know how they were about to acquire their good land. Moses continued, therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. You know, when I read those verses, I think, man, he's not talking about Palestine. He's talking about America. Didn't those five verses sound like the land that we live in? They do to me. Now, for the reasons stated in verses 1 through 5, Israel had to keep the Lord's commandments, walk in his ways, and fear him. And the Lord had a purpose for everything that he wanted Israel to do, whether Israel always knew what those reasons were. He just wanted to see, okay, are you going to do what I want or not? Then, in verses 6 through 10, they had to obey him because of the huge blessings he was about to give him. They would have plenty of pure water. Plenty of a variety of foods. and plenty of metal that they could just dig out of the earth. Doesn't that sound like us? I mean, we've got so much water here. Even in the dry places in America, we've got so much water that we can throw it on grass that we're not going to even eat. And, you know, much of the world's thinking, what is wrong with you people? You know, save that stuff. You need to drink it or bathe it or use it for cooking or growing crops. You just want the ground to look pretty right there? I mean, do we understand how much water we have? What do you want to eat? I mean, just list anything. And if we don't grow it here, we can get it from someplace. I mean, we can eat fresh fruit in the middle of wintertime. What do we want to make? And we can get it right out of the earth, right here in North America. And if it's not available or we've closed it off for some reason, we can get it from somewhere else. Now, when Israel obeyed the Lord and enjoyed those blessings, Moses then said they were to bless the Lord. If they failed to bless Him, He could take those blessings away. Do nations today, for the same reasons, experience blessings? And for the same reasons, have those blessings taken away? We want the Lord to bless us. But guess what? The Lord wants us to bless Him. He wants to hear us bless Him with our mouths. If we fail to bless Him, why should He bless us? Israel had to know how she acquired her good land. Yahweh God was about to give them, Moses said, their good land. And truly, I think that can be said of all nations and all their lands, not just America or Israel back then. Therefore, every nation on this earth, including the blessed United States of America, needs to know the truth of Psalm 24. Verse 1 of Psalm 24 is so crucial that we know it, that it's also repeated in the New Testament. Paul quoted it. And I want you to notice here that the psalmist did not speak merely of the land of Canaan. Psalm 24, 1 says this. The earth, all of it, not only the Middle East, but North America where we live, the earth is the Lord's. And all its fullness, the world, the people, and those who dwell in it. Can we look outside and go anywhere on this planet and see something God doesn't own? The psalmist would say, nope. The Lord owns it all. Therefore, as Psalm 115 teaches, He can give the earth or portions of it to man. And if that be the case, then man, or a nation, should remember who gave the gift. Psalm 115, verse 16, says this. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth He has given to the sons of men. So He owns it all, but He could also say, and He has said, you know what? You're My children, you can live there for a while. I am your Father, you're My children, you can live there. Well, America, therefore, you acquired your good land because the God of Israel gave it to you. Let's go further and see what else Moses said. Verses 11 through 17 now of Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8, 11 to 17, where America needs to know God, just as Israel needed to know God. Moses continued, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. When your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and that He might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth.'" With all the blessings stated in verses 6 through 10, the Lord knew that Israel might be tempted to forget Him. And you know something? God doesn't want to be forgotten. He loved Israel. Do you want to be forgotten by the people whom you love? You know, I love every member of this congregation, no exception. And if for some reason, you know, I was to go somewhere else or you were to go somewhere else, I don't want us to forget each other. Who wants their children to forget them? Well, you love your children, so you want them to remember you. Now, in verse 11, Moses revealed how Israel could forget the Lord. It was not only a matter of not having Him in the mind, but it could also be by not doing what He said. We can forget the Lord by just not doing what He said. In verses 12 through 14, Moses showed what would happen when they got filled up with material blessings. They would have endless blessings in every area of life. Then those blessings of life would seem to be life itself. And they would concentrate on the gifts and not the giver, not remembering the one who gave them the gifts. Again in verse 14, Moses said that they would lift up their hearts. They would begin to think of themselves. That is, think of themselves and not of God at all. They would forget who led them out of Egypt, who led them through the wilderness, who gave them water in a place of no water, and who gave them unusual bread in an unusual way. And Moses said He did that He might humble you and test you, Israel, because in the end, Moses said He wanted to do them good. But then, with uplifted hearts, they would not only forget who gave them those blessings, but they would think by the power and might of their own hands they had given themselves these blessings. And so they would exalt themselves and maybe even look at themselves as gods. Or if not that, they would turn to other gods that they thought had given them that wealth. Oh, America, beware of those who are trying to silence God in public life. They want us to forget who has given us all our blessings. And if we do forget, what shall happen? What happened to Israel when she forgot who gave her all her blessings? Well, let's finish out this chapter and see what else Moses said in verses 18 to 20. That America needs the source. America needs to know the source of the power to get wealth, just as Moses told Israel. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant with which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God, and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. They needed to know that the Lord God gave them the power to get wealth. And He did so because He made a promise to their fathers, namely Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that they would possess that land and that great and wonderful things would happen. So when He brought their descendants into the land, they needed to have the power to get wealth because that was part of His promise to their fathers. Then Moses let them know that if in any way they forgot the Lord and followed other gods, serving and worshiping them, then they would perish even as the nations before them had perished, or would perish shortly after Moses gave this. It would be Israel's own fault for not obeying the Lord. Why would He preserve Israel when He would not preserve the Canaanites? Why would He preserve modern America when He did not preserve the Canaanites, eventually sent Israel out of their land, and even the nations who were here before us have in many ways perished? Why would we be the exception? I think the Bible says there's no exception. God rules in our world today, and He's blessed us because we've blessed Him. Please keep blessing the Lord in your own life. Do you even think about God? I'm sure you do. That's why you're here today. He thinks of you because He loves you. Therefore, He wants you to know that you do not live by bread alone, but by everything He commands and teaches. That He gave you your good land. That you need to know Him. And that you need to know He gives you the power to get wealth. You've heard of Jesus. It'd be hard for me to imagine anyone living in America for any length of time and never having heard of Jesus. So I think I can safely assume that everyone here, especially members of the church, but if you're here and you're not a member of the church, you've heard of Jesus. Do you know who He is? He is the Son of God. And here's what's so significant about Him. Yes, God gave us this good land and this wonderful nation to live in. But God gave us an even greater gift, because what He can do for us in the Spirit is more important to Him than what He can do for us in the flesh. And He wants to bless you today. First, by forgiving you of your sins. Then, placing in your heart the hope of eternal life to live with Him in the true promised land. If you don't have that hope today, you don't have to leave here without that hope. You can believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. You can turn away from the kind of life you've been living now and start living the life that Jesus teaches you to live. And you can even be immersed in water in the baptistry that's right behind me, all prepared, waiting for you to make a decision. If you're ready to do that, come forward now as we stand and sing.